Cameron Esposito, the host of Wham Bam Pow. This is a movie show, a podcast focused on action and sci-fi films, and I am so happy to be back with you. I've been on tour a lot, and I just wanted to give a shout-out to everybody that came out this past 2 weeks in Austin, Minneapolis, Baltimore, Philly, and North Adams, Massachusetts. It was great to meet so many listeners. Somebody brought Rhea and I capes with our faces on them. It looked great. They were bummed to not have one for Ricky because Ricky was not with us. But they said, shout out to Ricky. Here's a cape. Verbal cape, they said. This week, Denver, May 14th to 16th. I will be in your city, Denver. I'll be at the Comedy Works at Larimer Square. Rhea will be with me. Please come out and see the show. We would love to see you, Denver, this week. Also, I have a wonderful show lined up for you guys today. News, reviews, things you could use. And we will be talking about the movie Hot Fuzz, all that and more right after this. Hello. Welcome back. And here I am with regular panelist Ricky Carmona. Rhea has a big audition tonight, so she can't be with us. But let's, Ricky, take a minute. And shoot that beam of light up to the sky. You know how we do.
Boom.
We shoot a beam of light up to the sky.
Just straight up in there. It feels like today my light is flying so well because of the verbal cape attached to it. Yeah! Boom!
You should see these capes. Woo! I should have brought it to show you.
Yeah, she was. Why are you not wearing your cape everywhere?
I mean, that's so silly.
Since
that's
when you
really
got it.
Great point.
Jesus.
It's just because it's hot in LA. If it was like
that's
a
true.
Slightly... colder temperature
valid.
Place, absolutely would cape it up.
In the fall, that
yeah.
cape on you, girl?
Oh, yes.
Oh, damn!
And it is not like a, you know, like one of those capes like, oh, what's that woman from Vogue?
Mm. Oh, for
you know,
sure.
On the cover wearing a cape. I mean, yeah. She made it a superhero cape.
That's what's up.
With our little faces on it.
Goddamn right.
So it's great. And
that is
what's
wonderful.
Up and cheers. And everybody always is like, we love Ricky.
Oh,
they
bless
say that to
the,
our
bless
faces.
Bless all of you. That's very nice of you. I'm here. I'm right here.
You're right
here. As she says in Malcolm X, I'm with you even when I'm away. Damn.
I feel that way
you know
about
saying?
You,
you know I'm saying?
Ricky. And also, I'm so happy to report to the listeners that you got new hair.
I do. Because
you buzzed all your hair off,
yes.
And then I've been gone so long that it grew back. That's how hair does.
That's what
and
happens.
And you got a little mustache back on your face.
Un bigote.
Yeah, I feel like I like this look on you, too. Because I know
right?
you were saying that you were, like, sick of having a big poof hair.
Yes.
And you were like, I'm putting these words in your mouth.
So,
I was
going to
be
so
like,
far...
I'm a man, and I don't need it,
first
or
of all,
something.
It sounds exactly... like I would say
yeah, yeah,
it, and
yeah,
what
yeah.
I would say.
Yeah, exactly. But how are you feeling about this length?
I don't like it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you going to try and grow back out?
No. I'm doing
this.
I'm shooting a Channel 101 thing.
Oh, okay.
And they were like, hey, how long does it take you to grow an afro? Well, I was like, oh, like a day. They're like, really? No, it doesn't take that. It takes longer than that.
So when are you shooting?
I shoot on May 23rd.
And you're going to grow your hair...
I've been letting it
grow. As long as it can grow by May 23rd?
In the evening of May 23rd, when they say, and that's a wrap on Ricky, I will be going home and shaving my head.
And what about the mustache? Will you keep that?
You know, a lot of people have been saying how much they like the mustache, so we might keep it a little bit longer.
I do like it on you.
People
yeah.
have been saying.
I mean, I like, obviously, you have a great face.
Oh,
it's
come
not,
on
like,
now.
Hair
don't
pressure
stop.
On this,
go ahead.
I just think.
One more, please.
There's just like not that many dudes that have like a regular mustache anymore.
Mm.
You do not have a twirly.
No.
Like, I mean, if you ride a bicycle, it is not implied by your mustache. And that's a rare bird these days. Just a regular mustache.
So I should.
Like
so
from
I should
the day.
It? Yeah. Whenever I see pictures, like old pics of my dad with a mustache, because my dad was, while I was alive, never a mustache person, I'm always like, oh, damn. And
he
I look
had
right
like
on
a
him.
Pre-Ricky mustache.
Solid stash.
Yeah.
Very
my
smooth.
Dad had a mustache before I was born, too.
Yeah?
But then I feel like it might have been a different texture of a mustache.
Mm.
Because I don't know, you also have such like, you got a fuzzy mustache.
Yes.
It's
I would
beautiful.
Say it's coarse.
Yeah. Okay, well, nice. So that's the podcast.
That was all. Thanks.
Ricky's hair
thank
talk.
You for listening.
And it's, since you can't see it, you'll just have to touch your own hair and assume we're talking about you.
That's right. Shout out to our sponsor, Soul Glow.
I can't wait to talk about Hot Fuzz today on the show. It is available on Netflix Watch Instant. Now, sometimes when I really love a movie, I tell people, if you haven't seen this movie, go pause us, go watch it, come back to us. This is one of those movies. Mm. I would recommend watching it. Obviously, we'll review it either way, and you'll enjoy the review, whether or not you've seen it. But I just don't want you to miss this movie. But before we get there, let's get to some movie news. Okay, Ricky.
Yes.
Mad Max Fury Road.
Yes.
How are you feeling about it, first of all? General temp.
I'm right now, I've been working, since I saw the trailer, I've been working on a time machine that would allow me to get to May 15th as soon as possible to see this movie.
That is how I feel too, which is really weird because, I don't know, like the character design is definitely not what I expect. I don't know what I thought it would be, but I guess I just didn't think. First of all, Charlize, so dirty.
Yeah.
She's just physically dirty.
Yeah.
On her eyeball area, which I feel like is like the number one place you would wipe.
Yeah.
If you had anything.
For sure.
Keep that
clean.
You keep the eyes free from infection.
Clear eyes.
So, yeah, can't lose.
Thank you.
I believe that maybe the movie's about her having pink eye. Like, she just seems really dirty in the eyes.
Yeah. Could be a quest for blue blockers, you know?
And it's fascinating that they would do that because she's unrecognizable and she's such a... I think still bankable star, but
absolutely.
But in the billboards, you can't tell it's her really, or even in the trailer. And then Tom Hardy, who I love, I really like him as an actor. I don't know what your feeling is on him.
I am a fan of his.
Underrepresented. He was in that great movie. What is it called? Oh, The Drop. And we recommended that to you, and I can't remember if you had seen that or not.
I have not seen The Drop.
On this show, it is such a good movie, and it was like released with very little fanfare, and then it's on every Delta flight. You get it every time you fly Delta, and so Rhea and I just watched it because it was like an in-flight movie, and we were like, "Oh shit!
Is that right?
Oh, this is a very good movie."
Yeah. I have it on a thumb drive somewhere at my apartment.
You would love
I really
it,
do.
Ricky.
Okay,
yeah,
I'll watch that.
Right up your alley. Really good.
Okay,
he's great in it. Anyway, so I'm excited to see the two of them together. I really like them. And both of them are unrecognizable in the footage. I mean, not anything new for Tom Hardy to be behind like a weird face grill.
For sure.
That's kind of his whole thing.
Check out my face grill.
Yeah. I'm assuming like the wonderful part is he's a moderately A-list actor who's probably never recognized.
Yeah, I think so.
His face is covered up at least in the two largest movies he's been in.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And Charlize is without arm in this movie as well. She has one regular arm and then she has one mechanical arm. So they're really, they're really, even though you do just see a lot of like, because it does look cool as hell. I mean, that thing on her eyes. But yeah, like every once in a while you'll see like a shot and they'll just be like, oh yeah, shit, she's got like a weird robot arm.
I actually didn't even
arm.
Know that because I haven't seen the trailer. I literally have just seen like a bunch of different stills. So I didn't know that.
That is one of the best trailers to come out in years.
Okay,
and there
is no
hyperbole behind that. There is no, you need to go see this movie. I think it's one of the best trailers. Like when I saw that trailer, I was like, that's how you sell a movie right there.
Well, it's the original dude
making
the movie.
Who
George Millar.
Yeah, George Millar.
Yeah,
is it Millar? Am I not pronouncing
it
right? Do you say Caribbean or Caribbean?
I say tropical.
Yeah, you do.
I could be wrong, but maybe he's just, I don't know. That's how Terry Gross says it.
Well, then why are we even talking about this? I mean, it's gross is law, and law is gross.
But one thing I wanted to talk about in this show is that we often say on this show, I know you feel this way. I know Rhea feels this way. It's like one of the things that we always agree on, and that is that we love practical effects. Like, we really like digital. There are sometimes that digital effects can work for different ones of us. Maybe some of us like it in this particular movie, or we liked this thing in this movie, or, you know, we thought that it really added to it. But something that is true about this Mad Max Fury Road is that almost nothing is digitized or digitally altered. The only thing that is altered is, like, they erased, like, they maybe took out some wires.
Okay.
Or, like, if there was just, like, a weird, you know, I don't know, like some like a little teeny box that needed to be there for the stunt to happen.
For sure.
And they like erased that. But it's kind of the same stuff that you could have done with like a marker or whatever. You know, like it's like not, they didn't create things.
Yeah.
They subtracted only. Yeah. And that, I'm very curious to see what that looks like, because so often we're seeing these different kinds of movies now, and we're used to this other kind of resolution. We're used to, like, things made, you know, it almost looks more real to us when something is fake.
Absolutely. Oh, for sure.
That's what we're used to seeing.
For sure.
So I'm very curious as to what these effects look like.
Oh, wait till you see this trailer. It's going to blow you away. There's three shots in particular, which I won't say what they are, but there's three shots in the trailer where I was just like, how did you do that? And
awesome.
Knowing that it was so much a practical movie,
yeah,
it was like, how did you, like...
Oh, I can't wait to see it.
What was the health insurance on this? that's the budget I want to look at on this
that's
movie.
That's a great question. I do not know what their insurance was, but I'm going to give you one more reason it probably should have been increased. So I saw this little teeny blip of information about this, and then I went down that rabbit hole because I thought it was interesting, because it just said Eve Ensler consults on Mad Max Fury Road. I don't know if you know who Eve Ensler is.
Her name is
but
very
she wrote
familiar.
The vagina monologues. And so I absolutely clicked on that because
yeah,
I was like,
you did.
Wait, what was her role as a consultant?
Okay.
And so I guess in the trailer or I looked up stills, there's like almost just a group of women, like a women that seem to be traveling in a group.
Yes.
Four of them or something like that.
I know
like
these
that.
Women you speak of.
And so they are, whatever their backstory is, some trauma happened to them. And so Eve Ensler was brought to set to consult on what it is like for women to go through wartime trauma.
Mm.
And to talk about her experience speaking with like rape victims in war-torn areas, to give these women that were going to portray that similar role like some background so that they could sensitively address
wow.
the characters that they... And I mean, that number one, that blows my mind that That's, anybody yeah. thought to do that. That's such a great idea, so admirable. And I really hope that it makes an impact in the movie. I hope that they...
For sure.
I hope you can, like, you know...
That's great. I mean, that's... Wow.
Right?
Yeah. All right. Okay.
I mean, I was in the vagina monologues in college, so I like to feel like in a little way I consulted on the movie.
For sure. Well, I believe the women in the movie, I think they have vaginas. So,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
like
yeah,
there's
yeah.
this connection
so
that
there's
you
a connection
already
that.
Have
that's
that
a great
I do not have.
Yeah, that's a
that,
great point.
I mean, I will. Maybe we'll all go see it together, and I will look at you constantly.
One of these, I really hope that we do. One of the women that's in that little group mm-hmm. is a woman by the name of Riley Keough. Of course, I recognized her based on her face. And also, I know her name. Do you have any idea who that is, Riley Keough? She's a model.
Okay.
Have you ever heard her name before?
I've heard
that's
the name.
That's okay. No stress.
No, I've heard the name, but she's already, I thought she might have been an actress in a movie, but if she's a model, then I don't know who it is.
I don't know if she's acted before.
Okay.
But I do know that probably she might be the reason. Well, Zoe Kravitz is also in this, but
I know
she might be the
I know
reason
who Zoe Kravitz
that
is.
That insurance was kicked up to the next level because Riley Keough is Elvis's granddaughter.
Is there?
That is Lisa Marie's
daughter?
Daughter?
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
She looks just like the king. It
really?
Turns out, but like a beautiful model woman.
Huh.
So if you're watching the trailer and you're like, that looks like, is it?
Do I want to listen
is
to
that?
Rock and roll right now?
Yeah, then that's who that is.
That's exactly
what Eve Ensler will tell you. My friend Eve Ensler, she'll absolutely be like, no, Elvis is for sure.
Oh.
Her grandfather. 100%. So, San Andreas and the Rock. This is another movie that we just haven't really talked about yet,
mm-hmm.
that trailers are out a little bit now. It looks... What do you think it looks? How do you think it looks, Ricky?
This is one of those... Man, we just love to see The Rock in anything now.
God, I love to see The Rock.
God, I love The Rock. I love The Rock is in it? Like,
how
you tell me what that
get
movie...
get the helicopter take off because he's so heavy?
He's the Rock.
That's all that muscle.
He's the Rock,
that,
yeah,
he,
yeah.
There's got to
exactly.
be. I hope there's a scene where he has to throw out a bunch of baggage because he gets in the helicopter and he's so big that the helicopter can't take off.
There's already an homage to the last yeah. Fast and the Furious movie. He gets on the helicopter and flexes and the helicopter just breaks
yeah,
into little
it
pieces.
Breaks off of his. Yeah, I love that part.
And then
and
still
then he
takes
still
off.
Flies.
Exactly.
He flies the propellers out of his hat like Inspector Gadget.
He's just spinning it. Just spinning it.
Yeah, physically with his hand. He just has his two arms, and he's just moving them in a circle, and then he just flies up into the air.
I mean, it's...
And that's... I'm terrified of this movie because we live here.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's different. It's different times now, isn't it?
It is different times.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I also think, like, I don't know, I mean... Maybe when, you know, when all those disaster movies that were happening on the East Coast, when like everything was about New York being in the post 9/11, like shit could happen in New York. Then it was like, well, what if it's a wave?
Yeah.
You know, like I didn't live on the East Coast anymore. I had moved back to Chicago by the time those things took off. I guess I lived in the Midwest when Twister happened.
Yeah. How'd you handle that?
I did not love it, Ricky.
When you see a cow, what's your reaction?
I'm like, you get out. I got to get in the basement, I say. Sky green, gotta get in the basement.
I don't know if I would give it money to go see it, but if I would, the reason I'm going to it is to see The Rock.
You want to pay The Rock directly?
I can
set up some Rock bucks for you.
Can you hook it up with The Rock?
You can send it in. So another thing I want to talk about is this trend.
Are you into it? I didn't even ask. Are you into it?
I genuinely have felt a couple earthquakes since being here, and it's like very scary to think about what an actual earthquake would feel like because it is the weirdest thing. Because like other natural, you can see them.
Yeah.
It is so weird that there is a natural disaster that you cannot see.
Yeah.
And it just happens. And it's totally bizarre. And sometimes unplaceable at first. I remember the first time I felt it, I was like, there is a truck in the room.
who brought the truck in here?
It's the middle of the night. Our neighbors are crazy driving into our house. If it was midday,
it does,
that wouldn't be a big deal.
Yeah, it throws you off when you feel one for the first time.
So I don't know if I'll, I mean, I guess I'll see it, but I don't know if I want to see like the part of the country that I live in destroyed. Like, I'd be really stressed out.
Shot in lovely Hollywood, California, right where we live.
I can't wait to know all the landmarks and then watch them fall into a pit.
Some pool. Yeah. Just go down.
I want to talk also about this, like, megazord of movies that are all upon us that are happening right now. And here's what I mean by this. Now, so combining, when the Avengers first came out, everybody was like, oh, shit, the Avengers. And now, obviously, standalone superhero movies are still coming out, but the combining superhero movie seems to be the way that we're going, and I am very curious about how big those can really get. Like how, like Suicide Squad, that is a big cast. Batman and Superman, I mean, it's not a huge cast, but it's the two
It's going to be a huge cast. I mean, this is the beginning of that big-ass cast.
Yeah, they're, like, building their own thing. Exactly.
We keep forgetting Wonder Woman and Aquaman are still... They haven't even shown us them in the movie yet.
Yes, yes.
So there's a lot coming.
There's
going
to be a lot happening. Yeah. Yes, I agree. And so then even standalone superhero movies... And the reason I bring this up is because Captain America Civil War, the cast list was, like, announced, and there are 15 Avengers in there. And, or like Marvel heroes in there, and two or three women. So that right there, as we're starting with these combining movies, it's making me like even sadder about the state of women in action and sci-fi movies. Because, I didn't love seeing superhero movies where there was always a chick love interest. It would have been so great if any of those women were helping out. And you know what? Sometimes that did happen. Like, we moved towards Pepper, whatever the heck her name is.
Yeah, Pepper, Redhead, there you go.
I was going to say Pepper with the red hair. Like, being a bigger part. You know, people are starting to, we were moving in the right direction, and there was this, like, parody. At least there was some, like, woman to put in the poster that is, I guess I can't stop thinking about the Furious 7 poster with all their faces lined up.
Yeah.
And I really appreciated that movie, and I thought it was great, and I thought the inclusion of Ronda Rousey helped to make it a more fully rounded movie. But, like, if they did that with this Captain America Civil War cast, if they lined up all the faces, you know, 12 out of those 15 people would be able to grow the mustache that
you have right there. Absolutely. Like, yeah. Yeah. Here, what's happening now is like nerds are like, oh, yeah, man, look, they weren't showing our movies before. We finally get to see our movies. And we're like, yeah, cool. And then we're saying, oh, but it's still a boys' club. That's what sucks. It's like, oh, yeah, no, this is cool that we weren't seeing these stories. You know, we loved them when we were kids, and now we're getting them. But now, oh, it is still kind of like the same.
You know, that is really interesting. I'm so glad that you said that. That's really interesting. I think it kind of, I mean, it goes along with something that we really haven't talked on the show very much about, which is Gamergate and that kind of thing where I do think that you're right, that, like, there is a certain type of guy. This is not all guys. Not all men. But what I mean is, not all guys that are into this type of thing are, it's not all the same person, obviously. But there is, for a reason, the stereotype that the kind of guy who's into video gaming or the kind of guy who's into movies like this would have been the kind of guy that wouldn't have been the jock in high school. Now, also, we're adults. Like, we are at the point where we're no longer in high school. And what I think is weird is when that high school mentality of, like, I can't get girls is brought into movies that we're making now. I mean, that, like, I can't get girls in high school is the same reason that, I don't know if you saw, like, Hawkeye and Captain America saying that Black Widow was a slut.
Yes, I did see that.
And they're joking around.
Yes.
And they're on press tour. And you know what? Press tour, I can't even imagine how exhausted they are.
Yeah.
But I still think, like, there is a reason that that is said about that character and not about Tony Stark.
Absolutely.
Nobody's like, Tony Stark, what a slut.
Yeah.
And obviously, who else is she? I mean, who else is even going to date these dudes?
Yeah. We talked about that for, like, a split second on the last episode, Brady and I. Mm. And I aired on the end of, who knows how many hours these guys have been getting these ridiculous questions. Or whether
I get it.
Ridiculous isn't the right word to use, but just getting questions. And they've been to how many different countries? And at one point, they just want to be like, fuck it, you know, whatever. Acting like children. Is it the smartest thing to do? Absolutely not. Is it something very, I mean, it's not the right thing to say, but that's not the one where I was like, oh, man.
Let me ask you a question then on that. Because I know you pretty well, and I, like, know the kind of standards that you have for yourself. So, like, if somebody had a microphone in your face, would you ever say that, I mean, just, like, I'm just imagining a world, and could you see yourself saying that if you got to a certain level of exhaustion, a certain place? Because I think you're, like,
no, but
a
that's
super
just
feminist
because
dude,
I'm,
and you're also good at editing yourself.
That's what I was about to say. Like, I don't even like to have a picture taken of me holding a drink. Like, I don't like to put myself in a position where something gets misconstrued, just regardless of whatever. I always like to make, hey, what was that picture for? Nah, man, actually, I would prefer if you didn't, because if I want you to know something about me, you will get it from me.
Yeah.
So if I'm asked that question or if I'm in that state of, like, oh, man, it's been X amount of hours, then I already know, let's be very careful with what we're saying right now, Ricky, because this is where mistakes get made.
And I understand.
Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense to me. I mean, I understand making mistakes, but I guess my whole, you know, final point on this is just,
would I say something like that? I mean, I could, for sure. I mean, that's, hopefully, and after it was over, if I would be like, hey, man, sorry, yeah, that was me being exhausted and dumb.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I still, I just wonder about the, like, how do we, is it that we need to tell, like, little boys, like, hey, you shouldn't be dating chicks right now. You're, like, 15, so don't be, like, super set. Like, how is it that this could be changed earlier? Because I think, like, in that moment, that's what those dudes were doing. They were time traveling. I mean, you can see they're giggling with each other.
Yeah.
Like, they're 15-year-olds.
Yeah.
And, like, that's the same kind of thing that says, like, not all men, or that's the same kind of person that says, like fuck you for talking about anything women or, like, you know, like, it's the same kind of thing. It's like, it's that 15-year-old boy that felt unprotected or sad, or he felt like he couldn't measure up. And I just think, like, do we need to be kinder to our young dudes? Do we need to be telling them, like, listen, guys, everything's all right. Like, can you even say that to a young man?
I think it's happening. I think it's happening on a very minor scale. I mean, would we be even having this conversation? Would a guy even be having this conversation with a girl X amount of years ago?
I think you're right.
You know? I mean, that's, It's probably going to be, it's what sucks is one of those like, man, that change is going to happen, but it's going to be a fucking minute. Jesus.
I know. I know. I wish it was 15-year-old us talking about
I know,
this.
Right?
I also would not have known to say this to you when we were 15. But that's a great point. Okay, so we will be back in just a moment. Thanks, guys.
Hey, everyone. We're the Flophouse, one of the newest additions to the Maximum Fun podcasting network. I'm Dan McCoy.
I'm Stuart Wellington.
And I'm Elliot Kalin. What is the Flophouse, you may very well ask?
We watch a bad movie, and then we talk about it.
A bad movie podcast? Isn't that like every fifth podcast on the internet?
I'd answer that by saying, one, we've been doing this show for over 7 years, long before the entire premise of our show was a cliche, and two, shut up.
Sick burn.
I'd say that our show is more of a comedy podcast, a podcast about words that sound like other words, a podcast about me singing long, irritating songs like this one, a podcast about pitches for a Ziggy comic book movie, or discussions about sex tarps.
Yeah, I mean, mostly it's a show about three friends just hanging out and talking about ding-dongs.
That's mostly used to.
Wait, what?
So if you like any of those things, subscribe in iTunes today or visit MaximumFun.org to follow the show.
The Flophouse.
Woo! Welcome back. Oh, Ricky, just real quick. I have to tell you.
Yes.
I don't know if you've seen this.
Okay.
But you have to check out Vanity Fair because it has some pictures from the upcoming Star Wars. Annie
Leibovitz, I saw a couple of those.
Took them. Yeah. And they're really cool. But the one that's cool, that's really cool to me.
Yeah.
Did you see Gwendolyn Christie?
She's
of Tarth.
You don't see her. You just
right. She's wearing her
Chrome Trooper. That's the best one.
Outfit.
Yeah.
I didn't even know she was gonna be in the movie.
What?
Is that what my voice is going? I just have deliberately not been reading anything about Star Wars.
Oh, that's great.
I don't want to know anything.
That's great. Fantastic.
But and then I just had to see that picture.
Okay.
I almost wish I hadn't seen the picture, but I just can't believe it.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen the trailer?
I did see the trailer.
The new one?
Yeah. I don't know. I saw one trailer. Are there other trailers?
There's two trailers.
I'm trying not to see as much of it as I can.
This is great. And I'm censoring myself so my reactions are
do you see her in the trailer at all? No.
Which trailer have you seen?
I don't know, but just is Gwendolyn Christie in it? Does she have her little face pop up and she goes like,
no.
I am bowing
No. But
she knows what she's gonna say.
She doesn't say that. She doesn't say anything. But her character is walking and you're like, holy shit, that's a badass. And then I think it was like a couple days later.
Her boob falls out.
Cameron, I'm trying to give your women some power right here.
Okay.
You see her character walking, but you didn't find out until like days later after the trailer came out that she's playing that role.
Ugh.
So it was just dope. Like when I saw the trailer, I was like, who the fuck is that? That's dope. And then they were like, and that character is so-and-so.
I have to say, just based on what we were just talking about women and including more women in roles that could have been played by men. So that's number one. I'm just so jazzed that like J.J. Abrams or whoever, you know, made that decision, if it was him or casting or whoever it was, saw her qualities from Game of Thrones and realize that she fits in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
Because another thing I would say about using women in action and sci-fi movies is that there are universes in which a woman looks more interesting. You know, like there's and not just because she has like green skin or whatever, but just because like the idea that because she's so physically large and imposing and then she has such a beautiful face, like that is a more interesting character in this world where sometimes there's like a guy that's covered all head to toe in hair.
For sure.
Like it's interesting.
Absolutely.
The way she physically looks is interesting. And I think like, recognizing that as a gift is a huge deal.
The first person I started thinking of was Daryl Hannah in Blade Runner.
Yes.
She has a specific quality that nobody else has in that movie.
Absolutely.
Where it's just like, oh shit, yeah, that's badass.
And I think that's the same reason that I was so stoked on Ronda Rousey, because all of these, when you take a woman that should play that role and you give it to her, I think you create interest in the audience.
Oh, for sure.
Something new that they haven't seen, and also that's something special that they're seeing. So I think that, you know, there's a lot of room for that, and I'm just really jazzed that she's being used to her full potential, because she's great.
You're right about J.J. Abrams. he has like a really good eye in these two trailers of showing you specific things you haven't seen in Star Wars movies before. Just starting off that first trailer with the black stormtrooper.
Yes.
We all went nuts about it, but I mean that's just such a conscious choice.
Of reboots, I think something that we're overlooking is not like, you know, we can just use RoboCop as an example. They took the original RoboCop, they just made it shiny, mm-hmm. and then that's the new RoboCop. Hey, what if we could use computers and make this all look slick? And I didn't hate that movie,
mm-hmm.
but I just think, like, modernity is not necessarily how much like an iPhone can we make everything look.
Yeah.
I think modernity is also diversity in, you know, sex and age and all the other things that now, because of technology, we can do. Like, women can be badasses. We're there. Like, we have the training regimens, and we are physically bigger because nutrition's better. Like, we can play those roles. And so I think that's what makes an update an update is like, well, black people weren't stormtroopers at this point.
Yeah.
But now black people are everywhere. Yeah. Like, that is reflecting more our culture today.
Yeah, it really is. There's a great shot of like him on the ground, and you just see her hand come directly into the frame.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, that's right. I'm watching a woman helping this dude out.
Yeah.
And this, I mean, in a Star Wars movie. And I'm pretty sure it's not going to be any kind of like, not that there was anything wrong with Princess Leia and Han Solo in their relationship, but I just get the feeling that what they're going through isn't like, oh, and I bet you they're going to get it on at the end of this. Like, no, hey, man, I'm helping you right now. Come with me if you want to live, dude.
Yeah.
It's that moment right there, which is so dope.
And I think this speaks to why people were disillusioned with the first three or the second three.
What?
I think the reason people were disillusioned is because, and I understand why this happened based on the time that they were released and also who was, you know, controlling the property and who was directed. But I mean, just also like, we had this technology, so like, use it all!
Yeah, do it!
And that, I don't think, is really what we are. Like, as a culture now, we're not, it's not just about, like, how splashy can you make it? It's like, also like, how interesting can you make it? How much can you fuck up this, like, melting pot? Because that is where we are.
Yeah.
So that's cool. All right. Wow. Great talk. I'm glad we got that in there. Now is the time of the show when we're going to give you a brief review of a dick flick. This week we chose 2007's Hot Fuzz, which is available right now on Netflix. Watch instant. Now we are going to spoil it. Spoilers are going to follow. You are going to love this show. You are going to love this movie. Ricky.
Girl.
I hadn't seen this before.
Ever?
Nope.
What?
I just missed it. I was going to burp really loud
into
the thing.
You should have.
I just missed it.
I grabbed the side of my chair to brace myself.
Well, you know that I'm really spooked out by things.
Yes.
And so I kind of put this in the same camp as like Shaun of the Dead.
Ah.
And I just avoided even watching trailers because I just thought it was going to spook me out. Now, here's the thing. Obviously, also, to most people, Shaun of the Dead, not that spooky.
Not spooky at all.
But to me, I have like a problem.
You're in a special category.
Yeah. Hot Fuzz scared me.
Yeah.
Because there's
right
a person in it wearing a long drapey cloak. That's literally all it takes. It's fully light
mm-hmm.
during most of the movie. There are murders that happen. They happen in broad daylight.
Yep.
Just the idea
mm-hmm.
that somebody is in a cloak.
Oh, for sure.
Almost too much for me to take.
If you plan on recommending a movie to Cameron and there's a cloak in it, cancel that.
No,
cancel that. In the name of the rose. No,
I
thank
cannot
you.
Do a cloak.
No cloaks allowed.
I cannot do a cloak.
Not even cloak and dagger, just because it has cloak
in the title. Yeah.
No, thank you.
That is true. You totally. There is a certain point at night where Rhea mm-hmm. can't say certain words.
It's like the Voldemort.
It's so devastating because the best way to tell a comic that they did a good job is, you know, you killed out there, man.
Sure,
you really murdered.
Yeah.
But after a certain point of night, she just has to say, professionally told jokes, Cameron.
Laughter was elicited.
Because I can't take anything else.
I understand. And I respect that decision.
Now, this movie was directed by Edgar Wright.
Oh, boy.
And also, we reviewed his The World's End on this show. And I mean, obviously, hey, we can't undo our mistakes. But I wish I had seen this first. Because I think I would have felt really differently about The World's End.
Yeah.
Because I had only seen Scott Pilgrim. And this is like a... It's almost a continuation. It almost works as like a prequel-sequel thing with The World's End. Hot Fuzz does.
Well, yeah. Do you know about like the whole Cornetto trilogy and what that is?
Yes.
Okay.
But not... Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It's like this... There's the only thing that's actually tying the three movies together
is the ice cream in the movie. Eating.
Yes. There's a kind of theme that is in them as well, but it's not like...
This movie happened
in the town right over.
Yeah,
it's not like that.
Does Shaun of the Dead also happen in a small town like this? Is that his whole thing? Or
It happens... it looks... They all do look like they take place in the same world.
Yes.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. What I mean is, absolutely. Like, is the countryside or whatever, English countryside vibe?
It is, yes. It is there. Yes.
Yeah, I just didn't realize...
Are you not a fan of that?
Oh, no. I just didn't realize how closely they were connected. Mm. That's what I'm... Because I thought, oh, he had made these movies, or like, but I didn't realize, oh, it's the same. They're very different movies,
mm-hmm.
and it's almost like the same movie with different endings or something, like where the reveal is different, so then all the setup is different, but they go together.
I'm glad you're saying all of this.
A really interesting pairing.
Yeah,
I don't know.
No, you're making 100% sense to me, because as I was watching it yesterday, I felt better about my review for The World's End. In which I wasn't that crazy about it, because I was like, yeah. I mean, the things that people were like, oh, this is so great, this is dope. I was like, yeah, but I mean, you know, I've kind of like seen that a little bit, so it's not a surprise to me, or I'm not like blown away by it. I was just like, yes, that's a signature Edgar Wright move right there.
Mm.
You know,
I understand what you're saying. I guess I also felt like it was so cool to know that he has like. It's crazy that he has, like, just different endings up his sleeve. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that they're the same movie, but what I'm saying is, like, the little breadcrumbs, the trail that's, like, left along the way, that when you get to the twist and you figure out what the whole movie's been about,
yeah.
Like, he could have made those bread... The only thing that makes these movies different are the breadcrumbs
yeah.
and then the twist. Like,
yeah.
they're shot really similarly and the, you know, uses the same actors and they co-write the scripts with him. And so there's a lot of similarity. And then it's just that he is creative enough to be able to get two property or two things out of one thing. Like,
yeah.
that's kind of amazing. I have to say, I was pretty impressed with that.
He does a really great job to what you're saying in this movie. There's a lot of... great builds, and then when the payoff is revealed, you go, oh, god damn it, yes. And in this one, there's a Bad Boys payoff, and there's a Point Break payoff, where you're like, god damn it, that's why you did that in the beginning, because you see, so I can get to that. And they're fucking great. They're so great.
So much fun. So much fun.
Yeah.
And also, like, full disclosure, this is very funny. So, first of all, this movie has... Simon Pegg is in it. Nick Frost is in it. Martin Freeman's in it. Bill Nighy's in it.
I love Bill Nighy.
What's his face who has the new show on... Oh, God, I can't believe I'm forgetting his name.
Oh, the dude from Happy-ish. Steve Coogan.
Okay.
Martin Freeman. Somebody's
going to
yell
Edgar?
At us if we don't say...
Do you guys know each other?
You know, we hang out. We get breakfast together at Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles every Sunday. No, I do not know Edgar Wright, but I like that I'm at a level now where I can be asked if I know Edgar
I know
Wright.
Edgar. You know, Rhea and I know
Edgar. That's your boy.
Well, we went to his birthday party, and you know what is amazing, Ricky? I'm just going to tell you this story because this
is amazing.
I wish
you would, girl. I wish you would.
This is an amazing moment in my life where I was like, holy fuck, I can't believe. So I was standing at the bar. It's at his house. I was standing at the bar, and Simon Pegg. Walks up to the bar, and he just had a great shirt on. I was like, I really like your shirt. I've not met him before. I was just like, I really like your shirt. He was like, well, I got it in Las Vegas. And I was like, oh, and the amazing thing is that this happened. The opportunity for me to talk to Simon Pegg, who I think is very cool, happened the day before I was going to headline Vegas for the first time in my life.
Jeez.
So I got to say,
yeah.
Oh, you got it in Vegas?
Well.
Well, I'll be there tomorrow.
Yeah, you did.
Where should I go? I'll try and pick it up. And he told me where he got it. And then as he was telling me where he got it, I spilled an entire Diet Coke on him.
Yeah, you did.
Just a whole Diet Coke. And it was in a glass. So, I mean, I spilled the entire Diet Coke, and then it shattered at his feet.
Yeah, that's great.
So I love those moments where you're like, I can't believe my life is finally coming together. I'm going to be in Vegas. Simon Pegg will tell me where to get a shirt. And then just yeah. a dark Diet Coke.
Absolutely.
You know, an extra dark, syrupy. Oh. And I was drinking a Diet Coke, which is also a classy drink to me.
Of course, of course, absolutely.
Just a full, and then a just glass. Mm. The whole party looks at us.
Of course. The record scratched.
Yeah.
We are the jesters in life. These are the things that are supposed to happen to us.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Then a banana, when does the banana peel show up that you slip and fall on?
100%.
And you fall down the manhole.
Right.
That's exactly how that story.
I did fall down a manhole.
If you'd have been like, and then we went out clubbing, and then I'd be like, oh, that's a great story. You live a great life, Cameron. Thank you.
Just...
But no, I mean, you spilled juice. I was hoping it would be wine.
Oh, yeah, that would have been better.
That would have been perfect.
Just on the shirt that I'm complimenting. just for an FYI.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm going to be in Vegas tomorrow, and I will pick you up a new one of those.
Exactly. What's your size, Brett? Because I got you. I got you. Write this off.
But he was very nice about it. I just was like, you're right, Ricky. It is nice to always be you, you know?
Yeah.
It's great to know, like, at the end of the day, I'm always going to be me.
That's it, girl. You know? Absolutely. Absolutely.
I got real hot, started sweating through my vest. Like, I'm always going to be red and sweating through my vest and spilling Diet Coke. There ain't never going to be a day that's not me.
Absolutely. I was telling Lindsay earlier, I was hanging out with Brady, who was our guest last week. Saturday, we were at a party in an environment where it was clearly, what the hell are we doing here right now? And what do? We embrace it. Hey, more drinks, please. We are going to start acting like children now. And that's what we do in those situations. I don't know what I'm going to do now in a fucking pool party in West Hollywood. That's not where I grew up. But I sure as hell want to break all these things and push all these buttons. What does that
one
do?
Did you swim?
No, you know, I have this thing where I don't know how to swim.
Oh, Rhea doesn't either.
Oh, word, damn.
You guys should go swimming.
We should go not swimming together.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I look great by a pool, though.
Yeah.
Next to a body of water, I kill it, girl. I kill it.
I will buy you a Speedo.
I will not wear Speedos.
Come on!
No, not at all, girl.
You look so good in a Speedo.
No. I got solid Planet Hollywood trunks. I always have trunks from when I'm at a pool and I forget to bring trunks. I buy them there. That's how you know.
That's hilarious and makes perfect sense to me. That's really funny.
I have Planet Hollywood and Caesar's Palace trunks.
Woo! All right. Let's talk about this.
We got a movie to talk about.
Ricky, what is the worst part of this movie? Oh, let me just give a quick summary.
Yes.
So Simon Pegg is like this tough guy, perfect cop who does everything right, but also plays only by the book. Mm. He is relocated to its tiny town from London. London, he's been making the other cops look bad because he's been making too many arrests, working too by the book. So he goes to this small town and assuming that the small town is going to be idyllic, that's the image they are projecting to him. Nick Frost is another cop on this force, and they end up kind of becoming buddies with each other, and they end up solving this massive crime spree that's been happening in the town where people have been being murdered, and it's being passed off as an accident to purify the cuteness of the town. I think I did a great job.
That's a plot, right? The plot and a half for a movie right there. Yep. That was a great job. That was a great job.
Thank you. Ricky, worst part.
Here is what I learned watching this movie from doing this show, is if I don't have a worst part thought of when I'm putting my notes together or looking at my notes before I walk in this room, I'm like, God damn, that must have been a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a worst part picked out because, I mean, it's a pretty tight movie. There might be like some pacing shit in there where I'd be like, I don't know if I need it, but it's a pretty rock solid movie. I mean, it's, I'll say everything else in my favorite or my best parts of the movie, but
I do not have a worst part.
That's okay.
I mean, I will say honestly,
I don't think it's a perfect movie, but I don't think that there's really anything bad in the movie that I just, does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I almost think it's a, for me, it's almost perfect. Like, I really do think that the, because what is, like, the soundtrack is great.
Yeah.
And the camera work, like, perfectly complements the aesthetic. And I also think that, like, the casting, it's just nailed on so many different levels. And then for the script to also be good on top of that, it's just, I was trying to think of, like, the last time I watched a movie and I was just like, oh, like, just, like, saying, because Rhea was in the room with me while I was watching it, and she's seen it a bunch of times, and I was like, ah, that was also good.
Yeah.
You know, like, I couldn't stop, like,
yeah,
affirming the movie, you know?
You realize how funny this movie is when, like, those guys, I think that was only, like, their second movie. So,
yeah,
like, they don't have, like, that get-out-of-jail-free card where you're just, like, letting jokes go by on their charisma. The jokes are funny.
Yeah.
It's, like, well-written. And, like, well, like, the timing in it is funny. It's, like, very well put together.
But you know what I think I expected from it is I think I expected it to be jokier. And that, I'm actually glad that it's not. So it's really funny, but, like, I think the other reason I avoided it is because I don't usually go out of my way to see comedy movies. So I thought this was, like, a comedy action movie, and it's really, like, an action comedy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's a legitimate movie. It's not, like, a goofball. Like, I guess I thought it was more... I guess I thought it would be more send-up. And it's a send-up, but it's like I thought Airplane. I was looking for Airplane.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not
it
that at
not
all.
It is not Airplane.
Not Airplane at all. No, no, you're right. I see what you're saying.
And so I really appreciated that, and that was a surprise for me. I think, honestly, my worst part will just be that it is really disgusting how that one guy gets
oh, crushed so great
by the pillar.
That is
and I'm
so
not
great.
Sad that it's in there,
yeah,
but I almost threw up.
Because
I was eating a burrito at the time, which is the worst thing that you could be eating while you watch like a pillar crush into someone's neck,
yeah,
and remove their head inside,
yeah,
of it.
And it's did you notice, like, there that like the jokes, the comedy is so much there that the pillar goes into him, and then there's a comedic sized doll bouncing around with a ripped chest.
Oh,
I mean, it doesn't just like
away.
Fall down.
I had to look away.
They get a couple more laughs out of this terrible thing that happens. I mean, it's so goddamn funny. That moment is hilarious.
We have different senses of humor.
You're not down with that huge spike in the chest, blood?
Ugh,
chest
the way
meat?
His like neck folds so it looks
so
like a turtleneck.
Oh,
I'm gonna throw
so
up
great.
Just thinking about
it's hilarious.
Oh, blur. I can't watch gore. I can't.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, how'd you feel about that last shot then? It was tough for me to watch that last moment with 007. The thing in his mouth. That
oh
was,
my god. Oh,
that's
I was like
rough.
I don't even know what to say about that.
That was I was like, oh no. Oh,
but actually I like the way that it's dealt with it. He like still is alive.
It's yeah, oh, it's hilarious.
And he's taking this picture, his it's not called a headshot. It's called a mugshot.
No, but
he's taking his headshots.
I call them police selfies.
Yeah. Ricky, what's the best part of this movie?
His movies, they're like, he's on that list of guys who are like, that's an Edgar Wright movie. Nobody else is making that movie. And they have a certain energy. They got, he's got jokes in them where I'm like, oh, like that's obviously like a dialogue joke. And then there's like a visual joke. Sometimes I think he has like movie jokes. There's a lot of shots where somebody will be in the frame and then magically somebody else will just like pop in. And they do that a lot and Do the Right Thing, and it's very funny. And I'm like, that has to be, you had to have seen something that either led you to that or that got to you somewhere. So, I mean, he's just like, I would say Edgar Wright was probably my favorite thing about
this movie. That's a really cool
about this movie.
Thing to say. Because I'm
a huge fan of Scott Pilgrim. And that's like an example of like him like going stylistically in a completely different direction. You know, like he just, I'm when he's making a movie, my ears prick up. I go, okay, this will be something fun to see.
Yeah, I mean, Ant-Man, what a bummer. Would love to see it.
Yeah, but it's crazy. All the Edgar Wright stuff, somehow they left that in there. That's visually, like, they put out like a test reel a while ago of like what he wanted to do with it, and a lot of that stuff in the trailer.
Mm.
Yeah. What was your favorite part? Your best part, Cameron?
I was just thinking, if you're going to say Edgar Wright, mm-hmm. then I'm going to say Simon Pegg.
Okay.
Because I agree with you that I think that Edgar Wright is also, this is a really, like, I was watching this just thinking to myself, like, oh, a person actually made this. Sometimes when you watch a movie, you're just, like, experiencing the movie, and it's, like, fast, like, Furious 7. It's, like, huge, but it doesn't feel, like, necessarily personal.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, like, see their thought process. And I was watching this going, like, holy crap, a person made this. And that's really cool. Like, you can feel that a person made this, that he cared about it. And I would say that, so I love that as well. But Simon Pegg, for me, in this movie, like, it's also really cool to see somebody and just know, like, oh, of course. Like, because, you know, I know now, almost 10 years later, what's going to happen to his career. I know he's going to cross over to Hollywood. I know he's going to be in huge movies. I know he's going to keep making these movies. I know he's going to get to do lots of things. And so it's really fun to watch him here and just be like, yes, he makes perfect sense. He's so charismatic mm-hmm. in this movie. Like, everything he's doing with his face is brilliant. And I also wonder, like, what happened with Nick Frost. I don't know if there's a particular reason he hasn't moved into American movies as much. Like, I don't know if it's a choice on his part or if he just hasn't been able to crack it yet, but he's also great in this movie. Like, great.
Yeah.
And they have so much chemistry together, and I like that it's not backed away from. Like, they're, like, on dates in this movie. And nobody is saying, like, but, like, not in that way. No, like, they are, like, on dates.
Yeah.
It is cool and cute, their chemistry between them.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So, I love it. Okay, Ricky, scale of 1 to 5, Simon Pegg's shirts ruined with Diet Coke.
Yes.
How many ruined shirts do you give this movie?
I will give this 4 of Simon Pegg's shirts ruined by 1 of Cameron Esposito's Diet Coke.
I'm giving this movie, I'm giving it 5.
Ooh.
I'm giving it 5 Coronettos. I'll add 2 more to the trilogy, giving it a total of 5. Rhea also wanted me to say that she gives this movie 5 spikes through 5 bodies, starting with the head. That is disgusting. So we'll leave you with this. What are you thinking about this week, Ricky?
What are we thinking about? Happy Mother's Day. It was Mother's Day
happy
yesterday.
Mother's Day.
Shout out to your moms. Shout out to my moms. That good stuff. Shout out to Kumail Nanjiani, friend of the show. Had me on his podcast, The X-Files Files. Got to do that. That was a lot of fun. Listen to that. He showed me note cards from Glenn Morgan, who is executive producer on X-Files. And I got to see Glenn Morgan cards with my own eyes. Shout out to Los Angeles. I got to see that with my own eyes last week. Saturday, I got to see Al Pacino with my own eyes in front of me in a room speaking. I love this city, Cameron. It's the best. Shout out to that.
What did you spill on him? I just want to know.
All of my love and joy. Yeah. I mean, I am my spirit is still in the silent movie theater giving that man a standing ovation for all of the movies that he has given us. And shout out to you being back. This is great. Look
Woo!
At us. And shout out to shout outs.
That's oh, it. Yeah. Shout out to George Wallace, by the way, who's great at shout outs.
I mean, taking it to another level, he has.
Have you seen
to
him another perform level. Live?
One of the first stand-up comics I saw live, George Wallace.
You know what? This
hilarious.
Is not what I was going to talk about, uh-huh. but this can be my leave you with this.
Okay.
Because this last year, this last summer, when I was in Montreal for the Just for Laughs Festival, I did a show. It was a midnight show, and George Wallace was going to be on the show. And he is like How old is he?
He's been here for a minute.
I think he's in his late 70s.
Okay.
I don't want to disparage a man.
I think that sounds right.
Yeah. So he was, you know.
Was he rocking a Kango?
Oh, you know he was.
Yes, I do.
He looked great. And I will say also it was at this extremely alternative space, you know, so like he lives in Vegas. He's like playing Vegas shows and he had just retired from that and, you know, 20 years of that or however long he did that and like everything that he's made of would not necessarily be something you'd expect to find at 1 o'clock in the morning when
Absolutely.
He went on at some like art space where there's a balcony and people can like lean over the balcony and kind of look at you from just different angles and stuff. And it's so fun to watch somebody who's at a point in their career who's been doing this job for long enough that like it does not matter. It did not matter whether his jokes were jokes that these people related to.
Yeah.
It did not matter whether they even knew who he was mm-hmm. because he's a legend, but maybe not to them.
Right.
He got up and like just owned everybody's eyeballs. Just ear-to-ear smiles. I mean, I watched his whole set just, like, in awe. And the very cool thing about doing this field is that, like, you learn by doing, and there's an apprenticeship factor where you get to watch people. And you get to watch people, like, right in front of you who have been doing this job and know how to do it. And it's for free. You know, like, you're on the show with them, and you're going to go up later, and they shake your hand. I was talking to him backstage, and I don't know. It's just crazy to have those moments of access to people that have mastered this thing that you're working at. So shout out to George Wallace. He's very funny on Twitter. There he is.
Hilarious on Twitter.
Next week, we will be watching Avengers Age of Ultron. Finally going to get to the theater to see it. And until then, I'm Cameron Esposito.
I'm Ricky Carmona.
And you've been listening to Wham Bam Pow. Wham Bam Pow is recorded at Maximum Fun Headquarters by Lindsay Pavlos. Thank you, Lindsay. And thank you for listening.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.